Bless you, my child.
God bless you, dear.
So you are going to be 68.
Yes, isn't it awful?
No, not at all. I don't see why you should think it's an awful thing to reach the age of 68 or even 78. Some of the greatest work ever done by human beings has been done in the last few years of their lives, when age has crept upon them and possibly many people would have thought that it was time to relax and concern themselves with nothing else but the basket before the fire. Believe me, my child, many of the greatest works of human beings has been done in their old age.
Yes. Well, I shall always be active, I'm sure, from one way or another.
My child, you will always be given the strength to continue the work of the Spirit in some form or other.
Yes.
It may well be that you may not be enabled to go long distances to do this work, but nevertheless, you shall be a light in the darkness wherever you are. And you shall serve humanity and bring to many the joy and the comfort of the Spirit. This, I know, is so, my child.
Thank you, dear.
Have no fears or qualms about the coming years.
I haven't really.
Know that you are being guided and helped. And as you've been helped and guided in the past, so it shall continue into the future. And the way of the Spirit is clear and straight before you. When the time comes for you to join us, it shall be truly said, well done, my good and faithful servants. Many of them that you know not of who come to you shall be there to greet you, as indeed, of course, shall I and many others whom you know also. Child, I do not think either you or any man or woman on earth can realize the immensity of the power of the Spirit that is all around and about you, and the innumerable souls who come to you, enabling you to continue and do the work of the Spirit. Of course, we do not deny that there are difficulties and problems. We cannot promise that always you will be as fit and as well as you are. But this I do know, you shall not be, as so many oft times are, as they get older, placed in such a position that you cannot do anything at all. Your health will always be sufficiently good for you to continue to carry out your normal duties and to do the work of the Spirit from time to time. You have nothing to fear, my child.
Thank you, dear.
Age brings its problems, it is true, but oft times to those who are discerning, especially to those who have the knowledge and the understanding of Spirit as you have, it brings many compensations.
Amen.
How many years now is it that we have been together? Time passes so quickly.
Well,
many years.
Yeah.
And it seems that it is only latterly that you have been enabled to do the work as you would wish to do it. But it is a great joy to you.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been an easy path. We have never promised that it should be. Indeed, it is true to say that those who would tread the path of the Spirit, though we give all our love and help, we cannot guarantee that the path shall be easy. The material conditions oft times, because of one's knowledge of these things, in consequence, seems more difficult and more problematic. The conditions of your world are such that it is indeed very difficult for the ray of the Spirit to pierce the darkness and the gloom, but you have been truly blessed and have been brought forth as an instrument so that you shall serve, and truly you have served, truly you have given of your best, truly you have endeavored to do that work under sometimes most difficult and adverse conditions. We are ever conscious of your efforts, child. Had you in mind something in particular that you wished me to discuss or speak about?
Well, I don't know whether you would wish to talk about it, and if not, I'd like you to choose a subject of your own, but I'm very concerned, and I wondered what Spirit's view was of this legalising of abortion.
This is a very strange question that you ask me.
It does to do with life, you see. Life coming into the world. don't pursue it if you'd rather not.
This is a question which must be, by its very nature, very controversial. But I would first make quite clear that I speak of my own accord on this, that though we realize the necessities and the difficulties which must come in a world such as yours, we realize there are certain individual cases where there is a strong argument for this thing called abortion. If, for instance, a child were to be born into conditions of earth to such an extent that it would be detrimental to the evolution and development of the soul. In other words, if the physical condition was such that it merited this thing, then under certain circumstances and conditions, it would be an agreed thing to do. It would be the kindest thing to do. But of course, this whole question is so complex that you cannot, I feel, consider it in, as it were, a one way.
No.
There are too many aspects. What might be right in one sense may not be right in another. Life, once it is conceived, once it is brought into some shape and form and begins to have being, and I have stressed the word being, then it would be wrong to curtail its growth, to curtail its opportunity to enter into an earthly existence for which it was already being fitted, for which it was already planned that it should come into life, into being. Then, of course, it would be wrong. But you know, Jaya, this complex question cannot be answered in a brief moment of time because there are so many aspects and so many different variations of thought and opinion, and it would obviously mean that what would apply to one could not necessarily apply to another.
I thought it was a difficult question, but it's given me a lot of
thought. I think what we have to bear in mind is this. And I think this is the crux of the matter from the spiritual point of view. There are some, of course, who will suggest from this side, and there are many in your world who accept the idea that as soon as the child is conceived, it becomes, as it were, a living entity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may, in a sense, be true to say that it becomes a living entity in a physical sense, but we must remember that it has not become an entity in a spiritual sense. In other words, the spirit that is born eventually is only an embryo. It is only, as it were, in the earliest possible stages. It has not developed of its own accord, any more than the physical body. When a baby is born, it has no knowledge, it has no ability to take care of itself, it cannot do anything of its own. And as a child is incapable, without character and personality, without the ability to do the obvious things that are necessary, so it is true to say that it is not criminal. It is not taking life, if you wish to put it like that, because life as such, from the point of view of the spirit in particular, has not yet come into being.
No.
In a physical sense, it has not become, as it were, formed. It has not become an individual. It has not become a personality. So, in a sense, it is true to say that in the case of abortion, you are not killing an individual, you are not even killing a soul as such. I think it is very necessary for people to try to realize and understand that the spirit has not and does not become individual until after conception, after the child has started to become, as it were, an individual or a being or personality.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of the spirit is such that it is, as it were, how can I put this to make it understandable, like an atom that is split into millions upon millions and millions and millions of fragments. In other words, the power of the spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or call it what you will, there are many names for the same thing, and it matters not really. We are all part of the divine spirit. We are all part of the great spirit. We are all part of the complete or the whole. And these millions upon millions upon millions of fragments of the spirit that eventually, when given the opportunity, enter into a physical body and then become, as it were, creative and begin to grow and expand and become individual. They begin to develop form, shape, character, personality. The spirit becomes enlarged and is enabled by its growth to express itself in so many varying ways. Then that is a different matter, because it has already had the opportunity to make itself known and felt and to express itself as a separate part of that which is the whole. So if an entity, if you can call it as such, or the spirit force or vital force of life, has not entered into the physical body and has not become part of the physical body, has not taken upon itself the outer covering and shape and form of the human being, in other words, if it has not begun to express itself through life on your world, then it matters not, inasmuch that it has not entered into the physical. In that sense, what I'm trying to convey here is very difficult to explain or express. I do not consider that it is necessarily a crime, abortion. I'm not saying that in every case it is a good thing. But if there are extenuating circumstances, then I do not see that it can impair or harm in any way. Certainly cannot impair and harm the spirit, because that force or power of life, which is of the spirit, will find another source, find another method or way
of
expressing itself.
I'm glad you told me that, because I felt, you know, I wanted to be reassured. I suppose it's not till the baby is
quickened
that the
spirit's
there.
All this, of course, springs from man's idea that it is the physical that matters. You see, there are those in your world, particularly of a certain religious persuasion, who assume that by taking away the unborn child before it has taken shape and form, that this is wrong, that this has no merit of good. They look upon it as taking of life. But this is not truly so. It certainly is not taking away life in the sense as we understand and know the meaning of the true term or expression. In other words, you are not taking away a soul, because the soul has not yet been born. The soul is still in its embryonic stage, is still waiting, still there, waiting for an opportunity. And if it doesn't find it in one way or through one source, it will come through another. You see, the point is that your world is becoming terribly overpopulated, and of course something will have to be done if one is to consider the circumstances and conditions of your world. It is obvious that if man goes on populating as he is so doing, it is going to be a major problem of such immense proportions that it could lead to so many difficulties and troubles and even wars.
It's strange to strike a balance, isn't it? Because they extend the life of old people when probably it would be better for them to come to your side.
I think the whole problem springs from man's, I was going to say foolishness, by assuming that the material body, the material life, is as important as it appears to be. I'm not suggesting by this that the material life, the material world is not important. It is a training ground. It is, as it were, a school in which we learn life's lessons And many of us must have this existence. We must have this opportunity. And often, indeed, in cases which one could quote over and over again, it is very necessary to return to the physical world for a new experience, to learn lessons which one failed in other incarnations. But the point is that it is important to realize that man's material perception of things is wrong. He always assumes that the material world is the important part. It is by no means the most important part. It is important from the point of view that in that particular existence on earth we are given opportunities to learn things which are essential and necessary for our development and evolution. But this does not mean that in every instance or in every case it is essential or important that a child should come into being, and that the soul that enters into that child, that it is necessary in that particular form, shape or way that it shall be essential. And too many people assume, because that is all they know of, I suppose, that the material world is the world, the only world, and all that really matters. I'm not saying it is unimportant, it is vitally important, but it is not essential. The spirit can grow and evolve without necessarily entering a material body. For some it may be important and essential, but not for all. And there again, man in his ignorance assumes that the material world is the only world. And yet all around and about, in the atmosphere, there are literally, and I say this with great sincerity of meaning, not just the earth world in space, but millions of worlds. All these various stars, the constellation, the tremendous energy and life force that is being generated in the atmosphere, unseen by material eyes, unseen and unknown by material minds, is a living force. There are worlds, many, many, many worlds. The earth world is by no means the only world. And an entity may enter into another world, into another shape and form and body, and have its being very soon in the not so far distant future, and possibly even in your lifetime. You will be having communications from beings of a high order from other worlds.
They keep saying they can see unidentified objects in the sky now.
Man assumes too much. He assumes that the physical life is the only life. And it is, in a sense, one of the most, in comparison, insignificant of lives. Important though it must be and is to the individual, you are within your own consciousness, learning and expressing and taking out to yourself all sorts of experiences. But believe me, that is where we find such difficulty in explaining to you. Believe me, we will come to you. Though we are advanced spiritually, mentally, and in every sense advanced beyond your comprehension of the material nature and kind, so there are souls in other worlds, in the atmosphere, and these worlds are as real to these individuals as yours are to you. These worlds are vital and alive, full of the power of the spirit. Not the narrow concept of spirit as so many assume because they've had some religious background or teaching. Indeed, now I look back on my own life and my own experience, I see how ignorant I was. And I realize that it is wrong for man to assume that the material world is the be-all and the end-all. It is but a minute part of man's human evolution and development and progress. There are millions of spheres, worlds far greater, far more advanced than your own. And when people talk about life on earth and its importance, and when we see them struggling and fighting for the things which are of little importance to them really, many of the things that they strive for, and even assume they obtain, soon they lose them, soon they realize that they are worthless. in time itself and in experience. Life is so vast, so tremendous, that you just cannot confine it in a few years of Earth. The Earth life is vital and important to those who are experiencing it. It is important to the evolution of the spirit. But believe me, it is only one training ground. Mm-hmm. And there are thousands upon thousands of training grounds, schools of which we pass and learn our lessons. There is a great joy of eternal life. It's a realization that life is continuous and that always there is something new and fresh and exciting to experience, to learn. We are stepping from one place to another, evolving and developing. The Earth world is but one small, minute part of the complete whole, my child.
Yes. Thank you. That was most interesting. It confirmed what I felt in myself always.
Do not misunderstand. Should anyone listen to that which I've said, I would not have them misunderstand my meaning in regard to what you call abortion. I do not suggest that abortion is a good thing, but I do suggest that under certain circumstances one is well justified in doing this to prevent misery and unhappiness, not only for the individuals most closely and intimately concerned, but the child itself. Point is that we put too much stress, or rather the world puts too much stress on material things. It is not taking of life, because life has hardly, if at all, begun. The spirit is, until the spirit is released from the womb and it is allowed to form and develop over a period of earthly time, it has no real meaning. The power is vital. That which is will remain, whether it is born into a material body or not, it will still remain. You cannot kill that spirit. You may kill the formation of flesh that begins to take some shape, but that is not the person, that is not the individual.
Yeah.
Some will say, oh, you're denying the opportunity of life. That is not true, for there is no life as such until the child is entered into the material world. The spiritual aspect of this is that the spirit that would animate that body eventually will find another source, will find another opportunity to, if it is necessary for it, to enter into another shape or form in another world, if not in your own. Yours is not the only nursery of mankind. Yours is not the only nursery of the spirit. Believe me, the earth world is but one of many nurseries, as it were, and you will see in the years that lie ahead, by the evidence that will be forthcoming of such a nature, so tremendously will it be proved that in outer space there are worlds of which man never dreamed, in which there is a life more highly evolved, more spiritually evolved, in which children of the great spirit of all life exist, all part of the same spirit, part of your spirit and my spirit. Though we are in different worlds, though we are in different form or shape, under different conditions and circumstances, we are all of the same spirit. Do not be, therefore, I would say, disheartened or discouraged if in one existence on earth you do not achieve or seem to come to any realization of the purpose of your lives. It will come in a later time, in a new time that is yet to be, under new circumstances. The earth world, important though it is but one of many worlds through which you shall pass and have your being and evolve accordingly. Do not, therefore, I would say to people who seem so oft times to feel their life has been pointless and wasted, the opportunities have been missed, as they oft times say, but I say unto them, there is for them great possibilities in future existences. The world of the spirit is vast and tremendous, and in those great worlds, in outer space as you term it, you will find a new way of life and a new condition of life, a new opportunity, and you shall truly progress. But you will see, those of you yet on earth, I am sure, the beginning of a great revelation, where there shall be communication of a kind which will amaze you between certain worlds and your own, and we shall be overjoyed, for this is all part of the plan of spirit. Believe me, these things are so difficult, though they must be, for me or anyone else to explain at this stage. Yet you shall see how the power of the Spirit manifests itself, and how the bright intelligences are endeavoring and will succeed in communicating with your world in such a way that even those who prefer to refer to themselves as scientists and hard of head, they shall be made to accept the obvious truth of life eternal. Nothing that is of life can die, for death cannot destroy that which is indestructible. There is no need, my children, to fear or to doubt, but to realize more and more the wisdom of the Great Spirit himself. I use the term himself, though this in itself explains little or nothing. We cannot explain the divine power, we cannot explain the divine force that is the very essence of our being, but we know there is, in a realm far removed from ourselves, for we have not yet reached that point of evolution, where there is a condition of life so tremendous, so immense in its vastness and in its beauty, in its tremendous force of life giving, that we shall eventually reach that. This we know, but we cannot explain it, words cannot explain it, but we know there is a world far removed from our own, far removed from many of the worlds around your world, all seething with life, all seething with individual and collective thought of many kinds, but eventually we shall all evolve to this state of being, where we shall see and know fully the meaning and the purpose of all life. No one need fear these things. It is the great adventure on which we are all bent. No one can avoid these things, for they are indestructible. They are the things by which we climb. They are indeed the very realities of being and of life. There is no such thing as death. There may be this dreamlike state in which it seems that we die, but it is not so. For a brief span of time, it must be, perhaps, that we have no consciousness of certain conditions of life around and about us. But soon this passes, and we reawaken to a greater and more fuller existence, a greater consciousness of being. No one need doubt or fear. All is well. Nothing can harm the spirit, which is indestructible. This I would so forcefully try to present to you, the realization that nothing can harm or touch the spirit. No matter what you may do, no matter when you kill, though it is wrong to kill, I do not deny how evil it can be and is to kill, but there are redeeming factors and circumstances, and when you refer to this condition of abortion, but realize that you do not kill the spirit. The body may be killed, but the spirit remains triumphant. No one need fear, for all is well, if only man can understand his true self, which is within. The body is with the outer shell of the covering. It is necessary and essential for its earthly existence, but it merely serves, as it were, a vehicle for God's expression through man and his body. My love and my peace and my blessing be with you, my child.
Thank you so much.
And all listen to the voice of the Spirit.
God bless you.
Farewell, children.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
God bless, dear.